Okay, well, let's start with what is your musical background?
My father was a professional musician. He used to take me to rehearsals and scoring sessions. Actually, he recorded, you know, in the sort of the late 60s. You know, like things like Those Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines.
Mm-hmm.
And what was another one? Oh, Battle of Britain. Ron Goodwin scored to the Battle of Britain.
Oh, really?
Things like that. I guess it must have infused itself into me. And I remember watching TV. Of course, I didn't see that much real cinema, but saw a lot of films on TV, of which one was The Magnificent Seven, and really sat up thinking, whoa, this is incredible music, and it's great the way this film fits the music. It's fantastic. I think that probably put the seed in my head. And then I studied classical music, studied violin, took up rock and roll when I became a teenager, because you do. Got into world music when I was at music college studying composition, got into electronic music then, worked in studios, did advertising music, played in bands, continued playing, you know, string quartets, and just sort of trying anything I could, and eventually, came to Hollywood, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Mm-hmm. So now, what's the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
I procrastinate, mainly.
Oh, really?
You know, but I come to terms with the fact that I'm going to procrastinate, and I really think it's probably me thinking a bit in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, you get into the script, you look at the first version of the film, an early version of the film. I always try and watch it without any temp music in there, you know, the sort of the temporary track of music that they put in from other scores, just mm-hmm. to give them an idea. Make sure that's out so I can listen to it just with my head sort of free from music for the first time through, and then just start thinking and playing and having, you know, sort of a play time with me and lots of instruments and lots of equipment that I have, and you know, after a while come up with some ideas and play them to the director. And once we start to move forward, then I get into the real process of actually scoring the film, you know, going through every scene and
mm-hmm.
and adapting the ideas, the themes, the tone of whatever we sort of established to begin with, adapting that and making sure it fits every scene that we need music for.
Okay. So now, I first became aware of your work for the film Face Off. How did you become involved with that film?
Well, I was, you know, working with Hans Zimmer at his studio. I mean, I was kind of there, you know, as a secondary composer, you know, doing things for him. I mean, I really started out in Hollywood doing just arrangements of songs for The Prince of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
We did lots of versions of the songs that Stephen Schwartz wrote. And that was, it was funny that the last film I've just done, Happy Feet, so I'm kind of doing the same thing, but Hans just brought me in, and I was sort of part of his team doing those arrangements and producing the songs. And then there was a film that Hans couldn't do that he'd worked previously with the director, John Woo. John wanted him to do the film.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it. But he basically said, look, there's this guy. By this time, Hans had got to know how I was working, my work. And he said, you know, he recommended me and said, look, give this guy a chance, let him write some demos. So I did. I got some footage and wrote some demos, and they liked it. It took them a while to not believe that Hans hadn't written it. You know, there's always that sort of moment when, you know, they'd lean over to Hans and go, come on, you did write this, didn't you? And he'd go, no, I didn't. And he didn't. He gave me a lot of advice along the way of Face Off. But he also gave them a guarantee, really. That's one of the unique things about Hans, is that, you know, he underwrote the process of, to allow the filmmakers to relax and you know that they would get a good product, even though they didn't know me from Adam. So because of that, you know, I got through the film, 111 minutes of it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, score, and everything went fine, and I learned a lot, and then I was off and running.
Right. So what's it like to work under the sort of the Media Ventures umbrella?
Well, it probably keeps changing all the time. I mean, I haven't been part of the umbrella under the umbrella for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of Shrek was the last thing I did under the umbrella.
Right.
And if you know something, and you're able, you know, you get a lot of opportunity, you get a lot of respect, you get a lot of information, and you get a lot of beating around the head by somebody who knows what they're doing and has done it many times, and you know, and will teach you, you know, the hard way sometimes to deal with how tough it is in the business. And you know, and at a certain point, what was important for me was to, you know, much as I loved it there and I loved everybody there, I had to go out and sort of get out from under the shadow, because Hans is an amazing composer. He's a big feature in Hollywood, and he casts a long shadow. And it was important for me to, you know, be my own man, and it's quite hard to do. And so, you know, that's when I left and started to do my own stuff. And I think it probably was, you know, Born Identity when I sort of really got myself established as, you know, something completely outside of Media Ventures. In fact, you know, I was hired by people who had no idea that I'd ever worked at Media Ventures. So.
Right, now you have collaborated with Harry Gregson-Williams, and you mentioned Shrek. So what's the collaboration process like? Do you say, I'll take this scene there on this scene, or how does that work?
Well, to begin with, you write, you know, we would sit and write themes together, or we would write themes separately and then bounce them off each other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like two writers, you know, on a script. I mean, you know, you sit and sort of brainstorm the ideas, basically, and then you get together with the filmmakers and you try out all these ideas with them, and the things that fly, the themes that are working. You then split up the actual sort of workload of scenes to score, and you take those themes and you say, well, okay, I'll go and I'll try that theme in this scene and see you know, if I can make it work. And you know, and then you present them, and sometimes they get through, sometimes they don't. And then the great thing working with another composer is that if you've worked for a week on a scene that then gets chucked out, you know, the music just isn't liked on the first playthrough with the filmmakers, you can either sort of sit there and think, okay, well, I think I know how to fix this, or you often sit there and think, I've no idea what to do here. And if there's two of you, you can just say, okay, well, you try it this time.
Well, now, a lot of your work is in animation. What do you think is the difference between composing music for animation as opposed to live action?
Well, I mean, there are differences and there aren't differences. There's you know, basically, I've been lucky. I worked on a lot of good animation, and good animation is, you know, very carefully crafted storytelling that is made with incredible detail. You can really control every aspect of animation in a way that you can't on the set, and that means that everything about it is detail orientated, and that goes through to the music. So you do end up with a lot more scrutiny for the filmmakers about sort of every note, every, you know, eyebrow movement kind of thing. And you know, obviously, there's a tradition of sticking very closely to action, and you know, but at the same time, I mean, I think that tradition has been sort of dropped somewhat recently. I mean, I think, you know, Harry and I and Hans have been part of sort of a world that hasn't been doing that in some animation films, simply to try and make the story flow as well as possible and not get too hung up with the details of what you're seeing, and make sure you're scoring the, you know, the subtext and the emotions. And so it's a mixture, and you know, and then at the same time, there's other scenes where, you know, that kind of scoring is really appropriate. So it tends to take longer. I mean, that's the first thing, and it tends to be more fun as well, though, because they're great comedies as well. So you know, the writing music for a great comedy is a joy.